everybody, and welcome back to I Just Want to Talk About the Bible. If this is your first time with us, then welcome. I am glad that you are here. My name is Christian Keeter, and I live in the southeast of the United States of America with my amazing, beautiful, godly wife, Lacey, and our wonderful daughters, Felicity and Serenity. Today, we are going to challenge ourselves. And we are going to do this by asking ourselves a potentially humbling question and then looking in the mirror and asking the Lord to give us insight and wisdom and asking for his help in this matter. And as we ask ourselves this question, it may prove to be a vulnerable, difficult, and even exposing sort of process, but I truly believe that it will pay spiritual dividends, that it will impact our walks with the Lord in a great way, and also lead to just greater freedom and joy and even peace with other people. And so we're going to have the courage to look in the mirror and ask this question. Like I said, it's going to, you know, be a bit of a challenge. This episode is going to, where we're challenging ourselves. And indeed, I hope in every episode you walk away feeling both challenged and encouraged, spurred on and loved. But this is what I know about you guys. I know that you take your walk with the Lord seriously, and I know that you want to know Jesus better. I know that you want to grow closer to Him, that you care deeply about what the Word of God says, that you love the Lord, you want to please Him, and you want to know Him better. And I've interacted with and corresponded with a number of you, and that reality is reflected in the things that you've said in emails. For example, the contents of the emails reflect individuals who are thinking deeply about the Word of God and about the Lord and who are seeking to know Him and to live in a way that pleases Him. And so I know I'm speaking to an audience of people right now who want to grow, who want to live the life that Jesus has called them to live, who want to know Him better, who want to just experience the truths that God says in His Word on a daily basis more and more. So having said that, let's get into the Scriptures. Let's begin in Proverbs 26. Indeed, the question that we're going to ask ourselves is going to come out of Proverbs 26. However, we're going to do a little bit of setup before we get to that point. So Proverbs 26, 3 through 11 says this: "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs which hang useless is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly." So that was Proverbs 26, 3 through 11. And as is the case with just about every single verse in Proverbs, you could just sit there, and indeed the Bible as a whole, really, but you could just sit there and just take one of those verses and just think about the individual verse and draw so much out of it. And just as a side note here, just to point it out because we read it, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. But then verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And so it seems like, you know, complete contradictory advice there. And I just want to point this out. This is why we need wisdom, because there is a time and a way to do this. And sometimes you speak and sometimes you remain silent. And we need wisdom to know when that is. And so that's not what we're talking about today or anything like that. But since we read it, I did just want to point it out in case anybody noticed that. And honestly, we could spend an entire episode just on those two verses, but that's not what we're doing right now. So, but this passage here, I mean, you see the common thread in verses 3 through 11. The word fool appears a lot of times, and it's not saying anything positive. And so let me just take this opportunity to just share with you a few other verses about fools, predominantly from Proverbs, although not exclusively from Proverbs. But as I read these verses, just pay attention to how a fool is described so that we can kind of sketch the kind of person that's being described here. Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Proverbs 9:7-9, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 10:23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Proverbs 29:9, if a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Proverbs 12:16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Proverbs 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Ecclesiastes 4:13, better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. And I really love that last one. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. And so there are lots more verses we could read. Proverbs 14:16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Proverbs 27:22, crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. And so we could go on. This is just truly a sampling, but as you can see, the Bible has a lot to say about fools and foolishness, and none of it is positive. And we see that foolishness is opposed to wisdom. A fool is opposed to a wise man. These are opposites. And so as I was reading those verses, and I know that was a lot, but we start to see kind of, like I said, a sketch of this kind of thinking, of foolish thinking, of a foolish person. And we see that a fool does not just seem to be somebody who doesn't know something. Somebody who doesn't know something can simply learn something. A fool seems to have much more of a specific posture of heart. Like it said in 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's Proverbs 18:2. And so we see that we're seeing somebody who doesn't want to, like, learn, doesn't want to be corrected, doesn't want to, I don't know. We just see a real, like, willful refusal to listen to wisdom. It's the picture of being, of having, like, almost like having, like, a stiff neck. So now we're beginning to paint the picture a little bit, but before we return to the passage that we started with in Proverbs 26, there's one more passage I would like for us to look at out of Matthew 7. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was teaching. In Matthew 7, 24-27, it's a pretty well-known passage, but I just want to draw out one detail from it. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So that was Matthew 7, 24-27, and here we have contrasted two people, the wise man and the foolish man. So remember, we're talking about this is still in the conversation we had about the foolish man, but there's something I want to point out here. Notice this. How is the wise man described? He's described as the one who heard what Jesus said and did that, and did his words, obeyed him, put them into practice. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Then down in verse 26, notice this, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. I just find it so interesting that the foolish person heard but did not do. And so it wasn't like the foolish person did not hear and did not do. Both the wise man and the foolish man heard. But what determined whether or not they were wise or foolish is what is what they did with the information that they had. And so that just kind of fit in neatly with this picture that we're seeing in Proverbs of, okay, these are people who don't want to or who refuse to embrace wisdom. And so that, I just thought that was an interesting thing as well there. So returning to Proverbs 26, I'm going to read the verses I did before, but I'm going to include one more verse on the end, verse 12. And I want you to realize that as I'm reading through this, there's a build happening. There is a building happening, and verse 12 is the crescendo. And I wanted to do all this setup of showing us what the Bible has to say about a fool, because it's going to make verse 12 even stronger. It's going to make the point of verse 12 even sharper. And verse 12 is going to be the one that will invite us into the question that I referenced at the beginning of this episode. Proverbs 26, 3 through 12. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And then here it is. Here's verse 12. Listen to this. In light of all this, like just verse 12 in isolation would be potent enough. But after we've seen all these verses leading up to it, verses 3 through 11 talking about fools and just highlighting the negative aspects of it, listen to what Solomon says here. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Do you feel it? Do you feel the weight of that? If you were just to read Proverbs 26:12 in isolation, it would still have incredible weight. But do you see how this was a crescendo? Verses 3 through 11 were a build as it was building more and more and more as it was just describing the negative qualities and the of a fool. And then after all of this stuff, all of that build, he says, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. And so it's as though he's saying, for someone to be wise in their own eyes is an even worse condition than the way the fool is described. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And this whole notion of not being wise in our own eyes is not exclusively found here. Romans 12, 16, Paul says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And so we have to ask the question then, what does it mean to be wise in our own eyes? In fact, it's interesting, back up here in verse 5, where it says, answer a fool according to his folly, it says, lest he be wise in his own eyes. It's like, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he do this, lest he fall into this. And so what does it mean to be wise in our own eyes? Proverbs 12:15 offers some insight. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. What can we learn from this? There's just one point that I want to draw out, and this isn't exhaustive at all. Like I said earlier, each of these things could be subjects of extended meditation, and there's all sorts of incredible things that, of course, the Lord could show us through any of these verses. But there's just one point I want to draw out today. One facet of what it means to be wise in our own eyes. And again, I'm not suggesting this is the totality of what it means to be wise in our own eyes. But part of what it means is to not be teachable, not be correctable, not be coachable, unable to receive correction, the inability to be wrong. It is to not be teachable. Like I said back in Proverbs 17:10, one that I read a few minutes ago, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. So a man of understanding will receive a rebuke, will receive being reproved, and will take that and embrace it and make any necessary changes. But it says that goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. It says in Proverbs 9, 7 through 9, we read this one as well, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And again, this is what I know about you guys. You want to be wise men and women. You want to grow wiser. You want to live a life that is marked by righteousness. You want to increase in learning. You want to grow in the fear of the Lord. Listen, I think so highly of you guys. I think y'all are incredible. And I mean, I'm so excited and for you, and just and what I'm about to say is not even about this podcast in general, but I'm just so proud of you for looking for biblical content to listen to. And like I said, it doesn't have to be I just want to talk about the Bible. It could be any good source of biblical information or teaching. But the fact that you have deliberately set aside to grow in your walk with the Lord and to hear from Him, y'all, that's incredible. And there's so many people that's not true of. So I think so highly of you. And so we all need to continue to grow. There's all parts of our hearts that need to continue to develop. And so here's the question that I alluded to at the beginning. I've already kind of worded it, but I'm just going to make it personal now. Are you teachable? Is there an area? Let's make it more specific, because are you teachable? That's really broad. That's broad. It's like, well, I hope so, you know, but okay, let's just make it real specific. Is there an area where you can't receive correction or coaching? Or is there an area where when it's touched, it's just like you tense up, you find yourself getting defensive, you find yourself wanting people to leave that area alone? Is there an area where you have to be right, where you can't be wrong? Now, this is a topic that is very close to my own experience, because if I had to be honest, I would have to confess that, you know, at many points in my life as a believer, I have been a person who has had great difficulty with being corrected and reproved or rebuked and not feeling defensive, rejected, and you know, kind of all the stuff that comes with that. And specifically for me, in one area that I've seen, and this isn't exclusive, it just happens to be an area where I've placed a personal premium, would be knowledge, specifically biblical knowledge, but not exclusively, but certainly specifically biblical knowledge. Like if someone were to, you know, say, hey, you know, that was a pretty good lesson, but here are some major issues I had with it. And even if they came with scriptures, like it would be hard for me, even if it was done graciously. And I'm saying, even if the other person did it right, you know, and the scriptures say faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. These are things that Proverbs says. And so that would be very, very hard for me. And that is a character weakness on my part. There was a time where somebody, I had said some things, talking just about the Lord, our walks with God and the scriptures, and somebody just like flat out disagreed with me on one point. And I felt in that moment this like obsessive, like burden to try to clarify what I meant, to defend myself, try to, you know, explain biblically and all this sort of stuff. And I'm not speaking against the importance of clarifying. No, clarify what you meant. I mean, there's nothing in the world wrong with that. But the great pressure that I felt, I need to do this now, and I'm offended. It's like, you know, where did that come from? Where did that stem from? And I just realized that this is an area where I really need to grow in being teachable and humble. And I need to be okay with being wrong. It's okay. None of us, you know, have it all figured out 100%. And I think that, well, you know, let me save what I'm about to say for just a minute. So let me ask this question real quick. Why are we wise in our own eyes? What leads to this? What leads to us being unable to be wrong in a certain way or to be disproven in a certain way? What leads to us being in that place where we have to be right about a certain thing? And it just gets like blown out of proportion in the way that we feel about it. Well, the first one is, of course, when I look at myself, and you could probably hear it all over everything I said, there is just an element of pride, right? It's like, well, pride is, you know, it's going to be kind of what comes out of us that's like, no, I have to be right. I can't be wrong. And of course, we know that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. And Jesus, of course, said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted in Matthew 23:12. And so the clear first thing is pride, but I also want to take this another step as well. And I think that the areas where we are wise in our own eyes probably reveal an area where we need to experience some healing, because it could very easily touch on where we find our value. And that's part of what I think that both of those things were at work in my own personal situation, because not only, you know, I've also seen in myself a great sensitivity to things like rejection. And these are areas where I think the Lord is healing me and working and doing things like that. But I've found whenever it's like, I don't know, the only way I can think about it is this. And I've probably used this illustration before, like if somebody has, I know I have actually, if someone had a wound and it healed and they have a scar and someone were to poke that scar, it's just like poking any other part of their skin because it's healed. However, if there's an open wound and somebody even applies a little bit of pressure, then there's a really big sort of response. Or think about salt. Or lemon juice. If you put salt or lemon juice on a sealed scar, then okay, you know, you got it on your skin, no big deal. But if you put salt or lemon juice in an open wound, like, oh my gosh, you're going to feel that. And so I think that there could also be some of that. And so as you ask yourself this question, invite the Lord to speak to you. Lord, is there an area where I'm wise in my own eyes? Is there an area where I can't be wrong? I also invite you to ask him, Lord, is there some sort of healing that needs, like, is it just pride that I need to repent of and move on? It's like, yeah, just repent, any pride, repent of pride. But in addition to repenting of the pride, is there something that needs to heal here? Am I operating out of a hurt? Am I operating out of a wound? Am I operating out of a false sense of self that's being threatened? And one thing that I have learned, and what I'm about to say is not original with me at all, but it's so good I wanted to include it here, that, you know, if we have something that needs to be healed, woundedness or something like that, we'll create a false self built around that. That will build around certain strengths as a means to protect ourselves. And so when that false self starts to get challenged and things get beneath the surface of that and some woundedness is exposed, we might react. Again, that observation is not original with me, but I thought it was good and relevant. And so for me, as I even think about myself, I'm like, yeah, this is touching on probably some like fears of rejection, touching on things like that. And so I wanted to use myself as an example in this, one, just to give you a specific real life example, but two, just to say that, hey, we're all on the boat together here. I know we're talking about something that can be a little invasive, and if we're honest and we ask ourselves these questions, it can be difficult and vulnerable and exposing, as I said at the beginning. But I just want to say this, like, look, let me just, you know, put the spotlight on myself here and say we're in this together, and Jesus loves us. He loves us. He doesn't say, get your life together, then come to me. He just invites us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? We do not, I have believed the lie that God and others are just slowly getting irritated with me for not being further along. And that's just not the truth. On the contrary, he wants to help you. He doesn't want to kick you when you're down. He wants to help you. He loves you. And so what do we do when we see this? Well, I think that a part of it, and again, this first observation is, you know, let me save that. I'll come back to that one. The first thing we do is we ask the Lord for help. We repent of pride, and we ask the Lord for help, and just say, Lord, please heal this area. I don't even fully know why I, you know, get so defensive about this area where I have to be right, where I have to, I can't be wrong about this. I can't be open to correction. But please heal this. And then another thing we do is we begin to let the facade fall apart a little bit. So for me, it would be like, okay, if somebody thinks that, you know, I'm just wrong biblically or something like that, if you guys were to get off of this podcast episode and be like, man, Christian has no idea what he's talking about, it would be to be okay with somebody thinking of me like that. I would, of course, want to, you know, clarify for the sake of, you know, biblical truth being put out, but it would be okay with not being, or possibly even being misunderstood. And, you know, I look at a lot of even people that I respect spiritually, and if you, there's always going to be people who come out and criticize their work. And I just, it's to be like just okay with that sort of stuff happening and just realizing that, you know, just doing our best to follow the Lord and to accurately say what his word says and to be open to correction where necessary, but not always have to be right, really, and not always have to defend oneself. And so I think letting the facade fall apart, which includes leaning into the very thing that you're possibly afraid of, where being exposed and vulnerable in that very area in the right ways and in the right settings. And I can't say exactly what that would look like for you because I don't know what the area exactly is for you. But we just need to humble ourselves and come before the Lord. I mean, 1 John 1:9 famously says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like I said, Jesus invites us to come to him in our messy, broken state. Remember that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God will not condemn, accuse, or crush us. He'll help us. And yes, he'll discipline us as a loving father that we may share in his holiness. But he's not condemning us or forsaking us. He will not condemn or forsake one of his children because he has said in his word, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So being wise in our own eyes. Like I said, it involves a lot of things. It involves deciding right and wrong for yourself. That's one application of this, of course. But the application specifically that we looked at today is there an area where I have to be right that I can't be corrected? And so I just leave that with you. This is a little bit shorter of an episode than normally, but there's no need to stretch it out longer than the point required. But let me just pray for you guys as we wrap up now. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for all the dear souls that are hearing this right now. I pray for each and every one of us, Jesus, that you open our eyes to see areas where we may be wise in our own eyes, where we're not teachable, or where we're even deciding right and wrong for ourselves. Because like I said, that's also a part of being wise in our own eyes. Lord, I pray that you show us this and that you help us just to lean into you and draw strength from you. I pray that every person walks away feeling challenged and encouraged. The perfect balance there, not too heavy on the challenge to feel despairing, not too heavy just on the encouragement side to not feel the need to actually do any soul searching, but the balance, Lord, just like you're full of grace and truth. But Lord, we love you, and we just ask for your help because we need you in everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I just want to talk about the Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that any and all gifts given are indeed tax deductible. So thank you so much to all of you who have already given. As you've heard in previous episodes, it really is making a difference. And there are some incredible things that we have been able to do, all of us together, because of what the Lord has provided through you guys. So thank you so much for that. And if anyone feels led to give, instructions on how to do so can be found in the footer of every podcast episode. So thank you guys so much for listening. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All right, God bless you guys. Until next time.